Hi, I'm Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen. I'm a personal functional medicine practitioner for high performers and professional athletes. And I've worked with athletes in many different sports, from the U.S. sailing team to endurance sports and triathlon, CrossFit, and professional tennis players across the board in any sport. Maintaining a foundation of a healthy body and mind is crucial for long-term success. This is the podcast that will show you how to apply the principles of a healthy body and mindset to achieve high performance, all from the inside out. This is the Fit and Healthy Athlete Podcast. Hey, everybody. I'm Dr. Kirsten Lauritsen, and I am so excited to have you back on the show. Today, what we are going to talk about is a micronutrient strategy that actually works and that I use with my high-performing athletes. So let's dive in. So you might think that supplementation is one of the only ways really to fill in gaps when it comes to micronutrients and that it's necessary for you to be both healthy and to perform well. Yes and no. And I totally get it, right? Like micronutrients are becoming super popular. I've spoken on many, many podcasts now, and all about micronutrient levels and where athletes typically go wrong and how I've seen micronutrients be the cause of so many different types of things that have been challenges for athletes, which we're going to talk about later in this episode. But the thing, and especially now too, it's not just me that's talking about this a lot more, but it's also different types of labs that are promoting micronutrient status, which is all really awesome. But supplementation may be limiting your ability to get stronger faster. And here's the really big downside. It may also be causing a little bit of toxicity in the body, which we really, really don't want. So the other thing is here too, I know that you've also likely heard that you need to be taking a lot of supplements. And I'm not necessarily anti-supplement by any means, but your reaction to micronutrient gaps is likely going to be to head towards supplements. Pretty common. And I'm going to tell you in this episode why you shouldn't necessarily do that and what I would suggest you do instead. So let's dive in. Taking supplements, first off, like first point, if you take anything away and you hop off of this show, you know, right after this, the first thing that I want you to know is that taking supplements can slow down your adaptation to exercise. If this is the first time that you're joining us, it's really, really important that you know that certain types of antioxidants and anti-inflammatories in supplemental form, not food form, supplemental form can actually slow down your adaptation to exercise. When I was doing my master's to get my human nutrition and functional medicine master's degree, my capstone or my thesis was all about looking at how turmeric or branched chain amino acids could affect delayed onset muscle soreness. And one of the things that I found on my way as I was going through this, all the research was that I started coming across, and I didn't know this at the time, but I started coming across a bunch of different studies talking about vitamin C and vitamin E and a lot of these supplemental antioxidants, and that they were delaying when athletes were taking them at a certain amount, they were delaying their adaptations to exercise. So that's just one piece that is why it's really, really important to know when to take certain supplements and why and how to take them, right? Another thing is that what I mentioned above at the beginning is that taking excess iron or magnesium or some other types of supplements because you think you need it is a problem because the body has to remove it. So what that means is that when you take a supplement, and especially if it is more of something that you need than what you actually need, right? So you might have taken a lab and it may have shown low iron, or maybe in the past you've had low iron and you're not really sure if it's a problem now, but you're just going to take it anyway. Same thing with magnesium. What happens is when you take that, and especially if you don't need it, your body then has to get rid of it because it's not using it. So what happens is then it puts a load on your liver, and your liver is the one that has to get rid of it. And especially if this is happening more and more, what can happen is it can actually lead to triggering symptoms because the liver is trying to get rid of whatever it is that you put in it. So especially if it becomes kind of an overload type of symptom or system, like something that's going on. So keep those two ideas in mind, that anytime you take anything in supplemental form, it has to process through the liver. And also that taking some supplements at the wrong time can lead to you slowing down getting those benefits from that exercise or that training. However, now that all being said, athletes still end up deficient in nutrients, and it causes a lot of problems. So here is an example of a triathlete that I was watching where I first started kind of, you know, putting a lot of this into perspective. And when I started realizing that, like, oh, well, maybe there's actually something here. Maybe there's a gap in this world that's not being covered. So I was watching a triathlete. I'm not going to name who it is, but because we don't do that on this podcast, but I was watching a triathlete and she was qualifying. She qualified for Kona, pro triathlete. She qualified for Kona. And then she went on to do several more races. And I was watching her on social media and, you know, I get this, she posts this news that she's not going to one of her races that she had coming up. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. I know that athletes do that from time to time for many different reasons, but I thought that was kind of weird. So then, you know, she's kind of posting some other things that are kind of starting to show signs that maybe something isn't quite right. And I was just kind of watching this whole scenario unfold. And eventually she tells us that are watching her community, that she was iron deficient and that it was starting to really affect her performance. She was getting super fatigued, having a lot of problems. The hardest part about it is that she then missed a bunch of those events coming up, her competitions, and she did go to Kona, but then she ended up being a DNF that year. And that, to me, when I saw that whole process unfold, I was at the time going through school and learning about all of these things. And I started to realize that micronutrients, maybe there was an issue here with athletes. So that is when my interest started to kind of unfold. My interest really increased. Another example, as I was kind of going through my studies, is I was reading a bunch of articles and I found one on Dina Castor, who was a marathon runner in the Beijing Olympics in 2008. And she fractured her foot at the Olympic event. She was actually in the lineup for, you know, potentially being on the podium for that race. And she got a fracture in the middle of that race. The article that I read about it said later on that they tested her blood levels and that she was low in vitamin D. So those two examples, and we know that, in case you're like, well, I don't get that, vitamin D, magnesium, calcium, it's the triad that are really important for having really good bone health. But then there's also some other things that go along with that. Like if some athletes spend a long time in energy deficiency where they're not eating enough, then that can also lead to fractures like down the road, but it takes a long time to get there. But anyway, these two scenarios are just a few examples of where micronutrient deficiencies have caused problems for athletes. And the thing that drove me crazy at the time was that I knew of all of these labs and all of these tests that were so easy to take and to perform, and yet athletes weren't doing it. And they also weren't setting a baseline, and they weren't, you know, retesting over time. And that, to me, was blowing my mind because I didn't understand how that could be happening and how nobody was watching for this. Not only that, but there are so many signs that come up in the body that something isn't quite right, that if somebody was just paying attention and looking at what was going on, a test could have been ordered immediately and everything could have been turned around so fast. So I hope that sets up the necessity. I hope that I am showing you why this is so important, and why micronutrients are something that I have focused on, and micronutrient deficiencies are something that I've focused on my entire career as a doctor who works with professional athletes. So let's dive into, like, micronutrients. Why are they important? Micronutrients are your vitamins, your minerals. They are the building blocks of everything that you do in your body. And it's not necessarily about the micronutrients themselves. It's the fact that, like, without them, all those systems in the body that we need to be functioning at 100% start to have trouble. So for example, your mitochondria are your energy producers. We talk about those a lot on this podcast, in this episode or the show. And they require quite a bit of nutrients in order to be able to do their job. Without them, your mitochondria start to have to deal with a bunch of oxidative stress, a lot of toxicity. And then over time, they can lead to things like fatigue. They can lead to issues with soreness and declines in performance and many other things. Your mitochondria are critical for your health. So that's just one example. Another example of where vitamin or micronutrients are critical is this one here. So if you don't have enough carnitine, carnitine is a type of nutrient that we need, you cannot burn fat. That's interesting. Your mitochondria really need carnitine and you cannot burn fat without it. And this is just one example or scenario. I've already given two. Here's a third of where people try to lose weight and find that they can't. And then they give up or get frustrated because nothing works. And while all along, basically what's been going on is that something internally was preventing them from making that happen. They didn't have enough of something in order to be able to make that weight loss come about. Literally a simple blood test at the beginning as when they decided I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to make this happen. A simple blood test would have shown them what's going on, saved them a ton of time, heartache, frustration, all the things. I'm not somebody that specializes in weight loss, so don't get the wrong idea here. However, if you've been struggling with something and you haven't ran a blood test that shows you what's going on, this is why we do it. There's also my story with vitamin D and my inability to recover, which I shared in the first episode. So if you're just joining us again on this episode, and this is the first time you've seen one of my videos or listened to one of my podcasts, I'll make it a shorter story. But basically what happened is I was deficient in vitamin D. I did a particular like strength-based, squat-based workout. My quad muscles turned to ropes and I didn't recover for multiple weeks. And what ended up happening is I was super deficient in vitamin D. So that was just one example of how I was able to turn that around really quickly because I figured it out when there was a problem and then was able to go and perform just fine at my next event. So there's many different reasons for why this is important and many different reasons for why like paying attention to how you feel is critical because it may guide you towards getting the right answers as soon as possible before it becomes a really big major problem and then takes you out of your competitions and takes you out of your, you know, whatever, or maybe it causes an injury or you get sick or something like that, right? There's many different ways that having micronutrient deficiencies can cause problems. I think the thing though, where it gets interesting is that many people in general hear about micronutrients and they start to think one of a few things. Maybe I don't need to worry about it because my labs are normal. Okay. If you've had a standard lab and you don't know what your levels of B6 and B9 are, or you don't know what your levels of like CoQ10, vitamin C, vitamin E, vitamin A, if you don't know about manganese or zinc or copper, maybe even some of your other B vitamins like B1, B2, B5. I mean, there's so many different types of B vitamins. If you don't know what your omega levels are, your omega-3s and your omega-6s, you might be missing some things. Now, also, you may have normal labs. If you're an athlete, you know that your requirements are higher than most people. So your recommended daily amounts, your RDAs, as far as different types of nutrients goes, are likely going to be higher. So if your labs are normal now, it would be really important, especially if you're a high performing athlete that trains a lot, it would be, or if you're in endurance sports, I should say. It's both. But if you are in that scenario, you should be getting these labs pulled frequently, like at least maybe every 6 months, maybe sooner than that. It all depends on what it looks like for you. But my labs are normal is not necessarily the end of it all. Two, I eat enough food, so there's probably not a problem. Another one is I don't have symptoms. I feel fine, so I'm probably good. Another one is I'll just take a multivitamin and multimineral. And that'll fill in all the gaps. There were a few markers low on my last labs, but I'm not going to worry about it because that's not a thing that I've had a problem with in the past. First off, out of all of those things, if a lab shows an issue, you need to do something about it. Like, listen to the lab because it's literally telling you what's going on in the body. If you're an athlete and you've never tested, for example, like your B vitamin levels or your antioxidant levels like CoQ10 or vitamin C or vitamin E, vitamin A, or you've never checked your mineral levels like zinc and magnesium and copper and manganese and omegas. And if you've never checked your mineral levels like zinc, magnesium, manganese, or any of your anti-inflammatories like omega-3s and omega-6s, you're likely leaving performance on the table. Like, set the baseline. It's so critical. The other thing too on this as well is that athletes in general have a much higher need for vitamins and minerals. And remember that a multivitamin is typically all that's needed for most athletes to fill in the gaps and to keep their mitochondria healthy. But there are times in your training cycle where literally taking a multivitamin or multimineral, like I was talking about earlier, can slow down your adaptation to exercise. And you want to make sure that you have those levels topped off before you go into that training cycle. Okay. So yes, taking a multivitamin, multimineral makes sense for long-term health most of the time. But if you're about to go into a training block, you want to make sure that your levels are topped off and ready to go so you can stop taking that multivitamin and multimineral. There's some other areas. It's not just your multivitamins and multiminerals, but also part of this micronutrient piece has to do with some of your macronutrients as well, like protein, for example. There are a lot of athletes that take essential amino acids. There's a lot of athletes who take branched chain amino acids. There's also athletes that do whey protein, and they also have things that come in supplement form like creatine. And they also maybe eat a high protein diet, or maybe you don't eat enough protein. Here's a few scenarios for you that you can take away. If you've had labs done and you've seen that essential amino acids are high on your labs, you're not absorbing your amino acid supplement. So watch out there. Okay. Also, you want to use branched chain amino acids selectively. So this is something to use during or around your workouts, but not necessarily sip on all day long. That actually can be problematic for your body. So if that's something that you've gotten into, I suggest that you watch out for that one too. There's also such a thing as too much protein. And there's such a thing as too little protein. In fact, too much protein can cause inflammation, and not having enough protein can also cause issues for like your mitochondria, for your muscle recovery. And remember too, that in and of that, like all of the millions of enzymatic processes that happen in your body, which is enzymes, if you don't know, enzymes are a very, very big part of biology. There are so many things that happen inside of your body. Like literally right now, there are a ton of enzymes that are doing a job to create a certain outcome. And all of those, in order to make those enzymes, they require protein too. So it's not just about the micronutrients. It's also about the macronutrients and knowing that you have enough of everything. But here's a few things that you can take away today and that you can literally go do right now. If you have a lab in front of you and you look at mean corpuscular volume, that's MCV, you'll see it. If you've had a complete blood count drawn, you can go online into your little portals and your healthcare portals, and you can see, you pull up a CBC, you'll see it. If it's been run in the last 6 months to a year, it's a standard lab that most doctors will run as a standard, just health check-in lab. If it's low, if MCV is low, you could be looking at potentially having low iron. So you want to check iron. It might be also in the form of ferritin. But it also could be, maybe it's not iron, but if you have low MCV and it's not low iron levels, then it could be zinc, it could be B6, it could be copper. And if MCV is high, then we might be actually looking at an issue with B12. Just one standard lab can tell you all of those things. And not just that, but it can also show you that micronutrients are sometimes what's causing the problem. It doesn't necessarily have to be anything super crazy. It just might be that there's a micronutrient issue. So if you've ever gotten back like, oh yeah, it's a little high or it's a little low, we'll just like wait and see, which is a very common thing. There may be more going on and it might be worth exploring that a little bit further. Also, things like stress can affect your ability to use B vitamins. So this is another area where maybe it's not just, so you've seen your labs, that's that they've said what they've said, but maybe you also are looking at like your lifestyle and you're starting to notice that maybe you travel a lot, or maybe you travel a lot to places for your sport that also gets you a lot of jet lag. And maybe also you have a really stressful job, or maybe right now there's a lot of stress going on with family or friends or some sort of relationship thing. Stress can affect your ability to utilize B vitamins. It basically, in order for you to use B vitamins that come in through food, they need to have something called a methyl donor in order to bind to that B vitamin and make it usable for you. So for example, if you are eating cereal that has folic acid, I think I'm going to get this backwards, but most of the time the B9 that's in any of the B vitamins that are fortified in your different types of processed foods, generally, they are in a form that's not methylated. So what you have to do is then your body has to have these methyl donors in order to be able to turn that B vitamin into something that it can use. And there's a possibility that some of those B vitamins, if they're floating around unmethylated, that they can cause some problems down the road. But what you really want to, just the point of all of this is that if you have something going on in your lifestyle and that's high stress, whether you're building a house or moving, or, you know, I gave you a bunch of different scenarios where you might be having in like a high stress scenario that can affect your ability to use B vitamins. Also, if you are, I mean, there's like so many different ways. So it's not just about like, oh, you have a B vitamin deficiency, let's just load you up with a bunch of supplements. It's about actually considering the whole you, the whole athlete that's in front of you. And that's in front of me, right? It's identifying, okay, if that is a thing, and if we are seeing low micronutrients on a panel, why? Where is that coming from? What's causing that? And then you'll get to see a lot more about what's going on for that person. And that is how we get a result that is really, really awesome for you. So last thing before we wrap up, because there are a few other things that I want to see that I want to talk about, especially if you see low micronutrient status that kind of plays into this idea of that root cause. And it's, again, not just about putting in supplements, right? It's about addressing the stress or addressing some of these other areas. So for example, if you see micronutrient deficiencies, we need to look at the gut. We need to look at the GI tract, because remember, if we have a toxic gut, then you can't absorb nutrients. So first things first, if you run a lab and you've got nutrient deficiencies, we've got to look at what's going on with that GI tract, because that's going to give us a lot more information as far as what's going on. Maybe there's a higher need for sure. Maybe you're an athlete that just has a ton of need for different types of nutrients. But if that is the case, then we do really want to make sure that your gut is functioning really well so that you can be able to absorb those nutrients and give your body what it needs in order to keep you performing at such a high level. Another really great, another thing too, is again, that excessive need. There also could be a genetic component there too. Like for example, some people can't methylate very well. And so there are some genetic things that happen there too, that may be causing some of those symptoms. So again, this is maybe something that you would look into further down the line, because you've ran multiple tests and you've seen that you've constantly had issues in that area. And then maybe you track that down a little bit further, but that can also have other implications in like chronic disease and stuff like that, that other functional medicine people tend to do a little bit more than I do. Another situation or another thing that could be popping up here is this athlete really actually getting enough from their diet? So as I mentioned, we do want to use some supplements at certain times, and having a multivitamin and a multimineral is really important for your body in general. However, there are times when you don't want to be taking a micronutrient or a multivitamin or a multimineral, and we'll need to be getting a lot of that in through your nutrition, through food. But if consistently we're seeing these issues with micronutrients, and whether you're supplementing or not, maybe what needs to happen is we need to look at the diet. There isn't one athlete that comes into my office that we don't look at their nutrition and their diet. So there's a lot of things there that, like, again, we're not just looking at a lab and then saying like, oh, take this or, oh, take that. What I want to make sure of is that we actually look at you as a whole, and we're not just saying like, oh, you're an athlete, so you're going to be deficient, or, oh, you're an athlete, so you're going to have fatigue. That's not the right answer. That's not the right response. The response that we want to see is, oh, that's super interesting. Number one, I wonder why you're experiencing that. And number two, what else is going on that might be causing that? That's a really big thing that is like a theme in functional medicine, is what's the root cause, what's going on there? And let's identify and let's look at the entire athlete. I want you to remember these steps before you do anything when it comes to inflammation or changing anything with your routine. Think through these steps first, and feel free to take out some paper and write it down. Or if you're driving in the car, come back to this later. But step number one is, I want you to look at diet and nutrition. Step number two is look at sleep. Then look at training. So maybe it's too much training. Four would be, are there any areas of recovery that have fallen off the table that you maybe need to bring back on? Or maybe we need to establish a better recovery routine. And then the fifth one, the last one, is then supplement. Okay. The knee-jerk reaction that so many people have right now is, I'm just going to go and take a supplement. I want you to push yourself to try those first four: diet, sleep, training, recovery, before you go to supplements. And also, I suppose, work with a physician that can help you dial those things in, and isn't just going to like throw supplements at you. Okay, to wrap this all up and just make sure that it's really easy for you to apply. Number one is, you want to make sure, and these are some things like, okay, if you are in a training block right now, or if you are heading into a training block, or maybe you're in off season, and this is a great time. If you're in off season and, or in the future, I'll keep that in mind as well. But, you know, if you are headed into your training season and you have a little bit of time, one of the things you really want to do is make sure that those micronutrient levels are locked in tight. They are dialed in, they're topped off before you get into your next training block. Because then you know that inflammation's low, you know that your micronutrients are all on point, and you know that your body is going to be able to adapt to that training and be able to mop up that oxidative stress that happens with that training. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, go back to episode 2. And all of those areas can be all dialed in so that you can be able to adapt to that training, and you're going to see an incredible response to performance and all that training that you get. So, and also, here's the thing too, last thing, if you get your labs back and there's a few major areas to work on, what may end up happening is, instead of sending you into that training block with some really high expectations, what we might do instead is, if there's, you know, major areas, I'm talking about like high inflammation, lots of micronutrient deficiencies, some gnarly, gnarly, gnarly gut health, what we might need to do is just lower our expectations a little bit of what we want to see. And we can work with your coaches, we can work with your teams and all of that. We work on fixing those things. And maybe what we're going to see is a lower or slower rate of adaptation to exercise. And we'll do milder training, and we'll monitor a few different markers as you fix these areas to make sure that you don't end up like overtraining. And putting more stress on your system. And what you'll end up seeing is, this may take you a little bit of time, but in the end, you'll see your performance come back and you'll feel like better than ever. And you'll be able to be one of those people that can go into that next training block and just see these impressive high rates of adaptation to training and performance. So what can you do? Well, number one, you can work with me one-on-one and we can develop a plan specifically designed for you. And you can do that by signing up at nwfunctionalmedicine.com. It stands for Northwest. So nwfunctionalmedicine.com. And you can sign up for a free consultation by choosing the Start Here free consultation option. And that is our show today for today. Take care and we'll see you on the next episode. Hey, did you know that up to 70% of athletes may be deficient in at least one micronutrient, if not potentially deficient in two or more? Micronutrient deficiencies like vitamin D, iron, calcium, vitamin E, B12, B9 are super common in athletes, and they can lead to things like fatigue. They can lead to injuries and fractures, getting sick a lot and missing practice, to unexplained pain and a lot more. On the flip side though, athletes who corrected nutrient deficiencies saw improvements in VO2 max, vertical jump, grip strength, force, improved delayed onset muscle soreness, and a lot more. That's why I created the Strong to the Finish Line free guide for athletes like you to be able to train and compete symptom-free so that you can have the confidence and the power to perform at your best. Get this guide for free at drkirsten.com/finishstrong.